What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you're tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys again for tuning in. As always, follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. Follow my man, Ben Shim, behind the boards, making the shit sound butt-er-re at IM Database, base with two S's. Ben, you're doing a hell of a job this month. We are on a goddamn roll, people. I'm so happy about the last few episodes, man. It feels good to be back in the swing of things, so follow us on Twitter as a unit at That's Kinda Neat. Follow me on Facebook or follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/kindaneat, where you will see me post videos and our conversations on there and not much else. So the Facebook is kind of just a hub. You can go to everything and find it wrapped in a pretty package at kindaneat.net. You can go to your app store and download the podcast app, search for Kinda Neat. Subscribe. That's so important to subscribe. You can subscribe to us on Stitcher as well. And leave a comment. Leave a 5-star rating and do all that stuff. And that makes us super official. And eventually we are going to end up on the new and noteworthy or hot podcasts or something. Hot bodies of podcasts on the front page of iTunes. That's what we should be nominated for, is hot bodies of iTunes podcasts on the front page of iTunes. Today we talked to Johnny Polygon, and it was tight. I really liked this conversation. It didn't really feel so much like an interview because I've done the interview thing with him before back at the Knock Steady days, and he was one of these interviews where it was a precursor to my style of interviewing now, where we kind of just talked, and I figured out his past back then, and I think that's logged somewhere on the internet. You can still find it. So if you want information about the dude, go listen to that one, but this one is more of just us bullshitting. It really felt like two old friends catching up, kind of. And the funny thing is, I've never hung out with the dude other than the time we created the content at Knock City together. Like, that's the only time we've kicked it. I want to say that's the only time I've seen him in person since then. And so talking to him today was a lot of fucking fun. It was a hell of a lot of fun. I'm having a good time doing these podcasts again, and that feels good. What doesn't feel good is the fact that, well, today is a Wednesday, so for full transparency, so you guys know when we're recording this, this is exactly a week ago from the day that you were listening to this. So this is on a Wednesday. This is the day that I uploaded the Pell episode in the morning. And pretty much Murphy's Law was in effect today with the Pell video and the Pell podcast. Like, everything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. And it started off in the morning where I couldn't get the podcast to work with the same process that I've been using for 69 episodes before it that I've never had an issue with. All of a sudden, for some reason, there was some kind of permissions error when I was uploading it. And so as I was like publishing the podcast and the blog, it was saying that the MP3 was not there. And I had to like be on the phone with GoDaddy for an hour. And the dude was kind of like, well, this isn't really an us thing, but I happen to know how I can help you. And so he helped me figure it out. And it took an hour, but he helped me figure it out. And so GoDaddy's the shit. So this is free advertising. If you're looking to start a website, go to fucking GoDaddy. They didn't pay me to say that, but I fuck with GoDaddy. And they will call you and make sure everything is cool. And like, they have the best customer support. So yeah, I heavily fucks with GoDaddy, and thank you for that. Now, what I don't fuck with is the fact that about 3 weeks ago, I switched my modem at my house. Similar to many of you, I'm sure, I'm kind of addicted to my phone. And even though I sit at my computer for a lot of the day sending emails and stuff, or like I'm at home a lot, like more than the average person, because I don't have a regular day job. So I'm at home and I'm in front of a computer. Like, that's my media hub. That's everything. Like, I don't use my TV. I just have a fucking big ass computer monitor and I sit there and I dick around sometimes. But even when I'm on that computer, I'll still be on my phone on the internet sometimes or doing dumb shit. You know, you might catch me on Tinder. You might fucking catch me on Instagram. You know, I'm really out here on my phone on the internet, right? And so over the last few months, my phone bill has been going up and up and up and up because I kept using more and more and more gigabytes. And I used to be grandfathered into unlimited data on Verizon, but then Verizon realized that nobody gives a fuck about minutes or texts. Like, you know, those should automatically be unlimited. And so they started only charging for data. And when they killed my grandfather plan, I realized all of a sudden that, like, well, shit, I'm using like 10 gigs of, or I was using, at first I had 6 gigs and then I had to bump it up to 8 gigs because it kept going over on that. Now I'm up to 10 gigs and that's like finally like not going over. But it's because I don't have Wi-Fi at my house, and I'm at my house enough to where, like, if I was on Wi-Fi all the time that I was there, I wouldn't be going over, right? So I figure, hey, I can bump my phone data back down, you know, a good fucking $30 by going back to 6 gigs if I get Wi-Fi. So I went and switched my modem. I got a new modem. And so for the last 3 weeks, my life has been internet fucking hell because this new modem is a piece of shit. And it's not working, and Time Warner can suck my fucking two hairy balls because they're ruining my goddamn life right now. And it's crazy because this thing had bad mojo from the start. The first time that I went to go get this new modem that has Wi-Fi stuff, you know, I talk like such an old man, like, it has Wi-Fi stuff, you know, whatever that means. But the day that I went to go get it, I go to plug it in and call them to like initialize it and all that shit, and they're like, well, we're not even getting a signal that you have it plugged in. And I'm like, it's plugged in. And they're like, oh, well, guess what, that modem that they gave you is broken, so now you got to take it back. So I had to drive all the way across town again. The fucking Time Warner store is not close to my house. It's a good 15 minute drive, so I had to drive 15 minutes to pick it up, took it home, didn't work, have to drive 15 minutes back, have to drive 15 minutes back to my house. And the second one, it worked, but I had to go, I had to travel for work. So I didn't have time that day to do all the initializing shit. So I get back and I finally am able to plug the motherfucker in and get it working and get it initialized. But then you got to drive the old modem back. So I had to drive back to Time Warner again to give him the old modem back, right? And then what's been happening is most of the websites work perfectly fine. I was using Wi-Fi with my iMac. I was using Wi-Fi on my phone. I have funny, clever Wi-Fi names. You know, like, I made the lady at Time Warner laugh. She said, what are your Wi-Fi names? And I told her them, and she said, those are really funny. I said, thank you. I take pride in making the other people in my apartment complex laugh at my Wi-Fi names. But what's been happening is YouTube, specifically every Google-owned website, has not been working for me. So Gmail hasn't really been working that good. YouTube has not really been working that well. Even a simple Google search has not been working that well for me. It takes a long time. Now, when I say a long time, sometimes when I do a Google search, it'll take – I counted it. It'll take 12 seconds for the results to show up. Now, that might sound like such crazy first world problems, right? When you're really on the internet and you search for something and you're used to it showing up immediately, 12 seconds feels like for fucking ever. It feels crazy. You forget what you were searching for in 12 seconds. That's how fucked up our memory is right now. And so I'm like, what the fuck? And YouTube has not been working, right? And so like last week when I was trying to upload the Dream Panther video, I had to go work that day. And so I was I had a job down in San Diego. So I like woke up early. I uploaded it at 6 a.m. And it said it was going to take 225 minutes. These videos usually take 20 to 25 minutes to upload. It said it was going to take 225. I drove all the way to San Diego. I got there. I logged into my YouTube account. It still wasn't uploaded. So I said, fuck. I just deleted it and I uploaded it from – I had it on a thumb drive and I uploaded it from another computer. And it took like 7 minutes because the homie had blazing fast internet, right? So I'm thinking maybe that was just a fluke. Maybe like it was just like that day something was fucked up, and I go to upload the Pell video this morning and I start at 12:30, and by the time that I finally gave up and drove to Ben's house, Ben the engineer, I am database based with two S's, I drove to Koreatown. This is very regional, but I drove to his house to upload the video, which is a half hour drive from my house. By the time that I went there, it had been uploading for 3 hours and it was saying it was going to take another hour and a half. That means it was going to take 4.5 hours for a video that should take 25 minutes to upload, right? That's crazy. But in that 2.5, 3.5 hours that I was waiting for the video to upload, I was on the phone with Time Warner the whole fucking time, getting bounced around from the Philippines to Denver to Dallas to fucking everywhere, right? I went from level 1 tech support to tier 2 tech support to tier 3 tech support until finally they figured out, wait, none of us are able to figure out what's going on. This needs to go to tier 4, but tier 4 is apparently top secret and they don't have operators that work on those. It's a first come, first serve basis and it's a 5 business day waiting period. So They basically found out after like getting into my computer's terminal and typing a bunch of like DOS commands and shit that what was happening is that it was bouncing off of their server fine, and then all the different servers that it needs to get through on the fucking underground tubes that make up the internet, as Al Gore would tell you, or whoever it was would tell you, every other router and server that it was bouncing off of was taking crazy amounts. So it was bouncing off some servers at 890 milliseconds or something like that, when it's supposed to be under 100 milliseconds. So it's going eight times slower than it's supposed to go, which is insane. And I'm trying to tell these people, like, look, man, YouTube's part of my livelihood. I'm a YouTube partner. Like, I need to get these videos out on time or they don't get the views that they're supposed to. And then I'm fucking over the artist that I'm working with. I'm fucking over myself. And just in general, it's like just making the brand look shitty. I'm like, you guys are really fucking me up here. Like, help me. This fucking lady in Denver tells me, like, oh, well, here, it looks like this other router from this other company is fucking up. So I'm going to give you their 800 number and you can call them and ask them why it's messing up. And I said, man, you're giving me a random 800 number for some company I've never heard of that you don't know the name of. I'm just going to be calling them and I'm supposed to tell them that like Time Warner told me to call you guys. That sounds kind of crazy. Are you sure you don't want to call them? Like, isn't this your job? Isn't this what I pay you to do, to fix problems within your fucking servers and routers or whatever? She goes, no. You just call them and they'll fix it. I call this lady in Dallas. Very nice lady. She picks up and we had an instant rapport. And I said, hey, you know, how's the weather? Where are you at out in Dallas? You know, she said, that's cool. I was born in San Antonio. She said, oh, really? And we got to chatting. I said, I'm just chatting with you because I'm trying to calm myself down because I don't want to yell at you because I know you got nothing to do with this. But here's what Time Warner told me to do. And she said, why did they tell you to call me? That's ridiculous. I said, that's what I told them. I knew it was ridiculous. Then I had to call back and start all the fuck over and start off in the Philippines and tell them, like, yo, I need to talk to people in Denver. They said, we don't know what Denver is. What are you talking about? They don't know what Denver is. I was supposed to say, I need to talk to tier 3 tech support. Anyways, that's what I dealt with all day. I dealt with being on the fucking internet. It was driving me nuts. And I had a sore throat yesterday. I thought I was going to get strep throat, so I took a day off from the gym. And if you guys have been paying attention, you know that like the gym has become a new kind of obsession for me. And so my throat felt a million times better today, and it turns out it was not strep throat. I was just panicking about that, and it was just a regular-ass cold. And I thought that Time Warner was going to fuck me up from and not be able to go to the gym today because I had to be in Atwater Village to do a podcast at 8 o'clock, and it was just a stressful day. This was probably so boring, but I'm hoping that my anger that you guys are hearing was at least a little entertaining, to know the lengths that I go through to get this content to you for free. But if there's a lesson to be learned from all this, what is it? What's the lesson, Ben? Give me a moral to this story. I think Ben says stop being so internet. I think so I'm past the point where I can stop being internet. I think that I'm internet as fuck. I can't help that. You know who else? Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say, you know who else is internet as fuck, but that's not a good segue because I don't think Johnny's that. I don't think he's internet as fuck, but you can find him on the internet. We did some cool shit together at Knox State, and he tells me that people still shout him out at shows and go, play something from Pussy Gun, which is something that he talked about on the Knox City podcast, and the limo sex superstar video that we did very well for him. I want to say it was in the top 10 videos at Knox City, and he told me it's become kind of a calling card of his, and I'm so excited about that. One of my favorite things is when artists come back and tell us, like, yo, the video that we made together, people ask about it and they request it at shows and it's like their favorite shit and it's become like a calling card. And I'm like, that's dope, because sometimes it's a thankless job and sometimes people don't thank you for that. But he did, and he brought me vinyl, which is a gift, which I'm stoked on. I don't have a fucking record player, but it's cool artwork. Maybe I'll hang it on my wall. And man, I can't stress enough. I really liked this conversation. We had a good time. Man, the last few weeks, we've been having really cool guests that I've been happy about, and we're back in the swing of things. And, like, I feel like I'm going to hang out with these dudes. Like, Johnny, he and I talk about, like, we're like, man, we should kick it. We both live on the west side. Let's kick it. And that's nice. And this conversation was nice. So without further ado, go to the youtube.com/thatskindaneat and watch the video that he did for Dead Meat, because it's stuck in me and Ben's head right now. And enjoy this conversation that I have with Johnny Polygon. This is a long intro and this is a long conversation, so you guys are in for a long fucking car ride if you're listening in the car. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Johnny Polygon. Into all the technology wars.
I don't. It was the latest free phone. So
yeah, there you
I
go.
Was like, fuck it.
Yeah, Samsung, I feel there like, was giving free phones to all the musicians.
They were.
They were really trying to be on the come up.
They were.
Yeah.
And then they got on the come up and I didn't get any more.
That became like a lot of my friends' hustles last summer. It was like, get a free phone and then call themselves, oh, so, I'm an influencer and my phone broke, but they like sold it to somebody else. Yeah.
They threw some good parties, though.
Yeah.
They were really reaching out. Did you go to any of the Samsung parties?
They were like the Scion of the 2010s.
They were.
That's
funny you say that.
You're around as long as I am.
Yeah, you remember.
Scion was trying to take over the
underground. They were hollering at guys that were more popping than me at the time.
Oh,
so,
same.
So I saw the Scion thing from I was like right up against the window.
Scion wasn't fucking with me.
I was like, oh, shit, this is amazing. They just give you free shit, like, for nothing?
Samsung wasn't fucking with me either, but you know what?
Yeah.
All these motherfuckers are sleeping because I'm out here.
Boom. Look at you.
Least stay paid.
Look at you.
Look at me. My hair is not as glorious as yours, but I'm still out here.
But your skin is as shiny on the top.
It is very shiny.
You know what I mean? Mine shines.
It does.
Your scalp shines.
Woo. It's like a mirror.
You complete me.
Yeah, I know. We're the same person. How have you been, man? I haven't seen you since the content that we made together in 2011. You were a mysterious man that came into my life and made me laugh for a day.
Yeah.
And we made some beautiful fucking content together.
We did make
some
content.
And then I never saw you again, and I felt like it was a one-night stand.
Yeah, I tend to do that. I heartbreak.
Yeah, me too.
But here I am, back on the other side
It's the first time that I've ever just been accosted like that, and then you just leave me. Usually I'm the one doing the leaving.
Oh, you miss me. It's all good.
What have you been doing, man?
Oh, man, I've just been making music, man. Making music, putting it out. Making music, not putting some of it out.
Yeah.
Remaking it.
Yeah.
Going back to the drawing board, putting that out.
Why, are you second-guessing yourself currently?
No. Just, music business is, even when you're independent, I feel like the business is even, like, more intense.
Oh, I mean, definitely.
You know what I mean? Because
you have to be the business.
You have to be. And, you know, sometimes it all gets, it's supposed to stay separate, and then when it gets mixed together, it's like oil and vinegar,
mm-hmm.
and then you just want to like throw it out and start boiling something new.
Yeah, like semen and blood. I don't know why.
Sure.
Why I said that.
Yeah.
You said mixing together and boiling and
semen and blood is the first two fluids that came into your mind.
So what? Have you put projects out since 2011?
Yeah, I have. I have.
Shows how much I pay attention.
Let's see. Since 2011, I've put out, what, two? Two projects?
Mixtapes or albums?
I put out one mixtape that was sort of like an anthology mixtape that was,
like a best of?
More like a, like I have these like different patches of fans. There are listeners. Some people who were listening when I, you know, were first started putting out music when I was a teenager. Then some people who were listening when I got my first deal. And then some people who were listening after I left that. And then, so it's like these four or five different eras of music that I had made that I wasn't sure people were like connecting the dots, or this group of people heard the earlier stuff, or if like the people who never heard the earlier stuff, or you know what I mean? So I just put it all together on one mixtape called Catch Up.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I put out an album called The Nothing.
How'd that do?
Oh, it did great. I actually brought you a vinyl.
You came bearing gifts?
I did.
I see it. Ben's holding it up. It's very rare when people bring gifts, but I can always tell who the good people are because they bring gifts.
Right.
Yeah, most people are.
I just wanted to get straight to the flattery, so I brought
good.
A gift.
I mean, we're actually going to put this episode out now.
Bam!
Yeah, no.
I know the game, man.
When did you put out The Nothing?
The Nothing came out in February of 2013.
Okay.
And the vinyl came out on that birthday, so.
Yeah. Oh, so this year in February.
Yeah, this year.
That's great.
Yeah.
And you've been in New York.
Yeah, I've been in New York over the summer. I went out there to play a show, one show.
And just stayed.
Well, I got a residency off that show.
Oh.
At this place called Pianos on the Lower East Side.
Okay.
So, yeah, I was there for the summer, and, you know, I was playing every Thursday. And, yeah, it was actually a really amazing experience. I was pretty nervous because I never played anywhere more than once a year.
How many Thursdays in a row?
It was just for the month of May. So that was, what, 4 Thursdays?
Probably about 4.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Seems like a month.
Right. I think that's... No, actually, there was 5.
Oh, yeah.
There was 5 Thursdays in May.
That's cool. Yeah.
But I played 4 of them.
Like I was telling you about Breezy's residency, there was 5 Tuesdays in July that month.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think me and him are the same person.
I possibly.
We're all the same people.
Lots of good hair. That's all I know.
We can't be in the same room at the same time.
What did you do for your sets? Did you play different sets each time?
Yeah, I played different sets. I played, you know, every week, kind of like the show grew. Like, you know, normally when I play, it's me, my drum pad, and my cellist, who also sings and does, like, backup vocals and stuff like that. And
that sounds tight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
is Michael your cellist?
No.
Oh, who's your cellist?
His name is Gabriel Royal.
Okay.
Yeah, he's an amazing musician, and he's actually gotten pretty well known in New York just, like, through the subways. And
oh, really?
Yeah, busking and playing. And
is it racist that when you said cellist and backup singer, I instantly thought Asian woman? is that racist?
I don't know. I think that's more of a...
I would ask Ben. He's my resident Asian. Ben, is that racist that I thought that? I've never heard anything like that. Okay. He says
so if it's a first, like, I don't think it's racist.
I think I'm just a trendsetter.
I'm a
free thinker.
If you're original... You're not racist.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys played different sets every 5 Thursdays, or for those 5 Thursdays, and how did it go? People were excited about it?
Yeah, it was really crazy because, you know, I'm just now kind of getting to the point to where people are, you know, really, like, excited to be at my shows.
Yeah.
You know, I played to no one for...
Same, dude.
Fucking... 10 years.
It's like we were just talking about before the show. Like, well, I've been in the same hustle as you. I've been playing to nobody.
No one.
For 10 years.
No, I played a show to a baby one time in Washington.
I call that babysitting, but if you want to call it a show, that's fine. But what I was going to say is, like, yeah, I've been playing for nobody for 10 years and trying to, like, steal other people's fans by opening for people.
Exactly.
For, like, 6 of those 10 years.
Exactly. But see, I still like opening. You don't like opening.
I don't like opening anymore. I'm
over it. I like opening because it's... Those are people who aren't there for me that can discover my stuff.
See,
you know what I mean?
Those people that aren't there for me, I just want to spit on them.
Right.
Just kidding.
Well, I mean, once you get to one side, it's hard to...
Yeah. No, totally, dude. It feels good when you got people that come and they, like, know your words. I love
it. Yes. And they're, like, cheering when the first second of the song drops. Like, they already know.
You
and
know
they're
what?
Just like,
those people that, like, when you fuck up, they're the happiest.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He fucked up and now, like, we get to see how he's going to react to it.
Like,
I love that shit.
Yeah.
So that's great. And
so
that's
it's
kind of
weird to get back to when you have to play shows to the people who are, like, texting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The worst.
You know,
the worst.
Like, I understand, but at the same time, I don't know. I'm at this like weird point in my career to where I'm just like, I don't know, kind of in like this zen place. It's like, I feel like, you know, even to reference, like, say, like Sage Francis or something.
Francis is a good guy.
Yeah. Great dude. But like strange famous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I can go to a club, get denied at the door, and then as I'm like walking away to my car,
someone will recognize me
and freak the fuck out. Yeah, you know what I mean? Oh, and I'll just be like, oh yeah, well, so can you get me in? You know, it's like,
that's amazing.
Yeah, it's just this like really weird place that I know I'm not going to be for very long. It's either going to go one way or the other.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm just sort of appreciating the space that I'm in and, you know, hoping that I can pay rent next month, you know?
That's great.
Yeah.
I think that the Zen thing that you're in, you're fully in control right now.
Yeah.
Which is really scary and kind of relaxing at the same time.
Exactly.
Because you can pace yourself out.
Right.
And you're,
right.
And you're similar to, like, what I do. I think you're someone who doesn't need to, like... We're not in that those young guys who got to pump out content every week to stay relevant. It's like we've got
never
people
that.
Who like us and people who don't.
Yeah.
And fuck it. We'll put out shit when we want to put out shit.
Right.
You know?
Right. I was actually talking to my boy Mike on the way up here,
yeah,
about how, like, I don't know if it's just because of the internet,
yeah,
but like music is a lot like porn in the way that it's like diversified and found like these little niche, yeah, audiences.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like back, yeah, in the day,
I only listened to BBW. BBW jazz, that's it.
I actually know what that sounds like. There's like hella saxophone and shit.
That's
what,
yeah.
Oh man, maybe some beats that you can like shop to.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's very smooth.
Yeah, yeah.
Smooth, curvy jazz.
I feel like there's lots of like the instrument, I mean the percussion is a lot of like blocks, like you know, hitting a block with a wood block with a stick.
Right, right. Yeah. No, but it's like you can find, you know, whatever little like subgenre,
super niche,
extra keyword that you can click in, you can find that in your music. You know what I,
absolutely,
mean? And like, so it's like if you're just putting out the stuff that really means something to you, to each person that you find in that like listens to that or is looking for that, it's like someone who's discovered like their new like fetish or something.
Yeah, totally.
And you're that.
And
that's how I've made it tangible for people to like porn.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Everyone,
I agree.
That.
I agree that.
Thank you.
Yeah, because like when I go to PornoTube, there are 100 different fucking categories, if,
right,
not more.
Right.
And yeah, when you're on iTunes, there's just as many categories.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you got your keyword and game right,
and iTunes, yeah, exactly. And iTunes is not even that genre specific.
Right.
You know what I mean? They're not getting into the subgenres of subgenres.
Right. Right. See, I don't. You know, I haven't
there's
really.
There's no witch house chart on iTunes.
Right.
You know.
Right. I haven't really figured out the iTunes thing yet. I'm more of like on like Bandcamp.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Bandcamp.
Yeah. It fucks with Bandcamp. I didn't really realize until recently that Bandcamp is kind of its own subculture too. Like there are artists who like really, really thrive on Bandcamp and Bandcamp really helps support them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I have my stuff on Bandcamp, but I'm not like part of the Bandcamp community. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right. 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 I don't think I am either, but yeah. I always do like the pay as you want or
yeah.
pay whatever you want.
Absolutely.
You know?
I think it's very helpful.
Yeah. Dude, I had this chick buy like a $50 song or something.
Wow, it's that's
like,
great.
I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, well, one time, I mean, if we're going to humble brag here, no, I'm just kidding. Well, one time, me and this dude, Solcon, shout out to Solcon. You know him from New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, he and I both randomly tweeted the same day, like, someone paid us $229 for an album.
I'm going to do that.
And I fucking went, and I emailed the kid back, and I said, yo, man, I think that you typed in the wrong amount.
Right, right. You know? And he's like, no.
And then I tweeted, like, yo, someone just paid me $229 for a fucking album. That's crazy. And then Solcon was like, whoa, me too. And I'm like, dude, this guy is really out. It was the same guy. He's like,
what?
He went and, like, fucking Santa Claus, like, five rappers, just gave us $230.
No, that's amazing.
How crazy is that?
That is amazing.
Yeah. Do you know how much BBW porn I bought with that? It's a callback.
BBW jazz.
I was out here. Was
Where's the BBW jazz?
Kenny G's. Kenny G's. fuck. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
It's funny too because we're for all intents and purposes, I feel like we're from the same generation of rappers.
We
and,
are.
Yeah,
we are.
Exactly. And so I think that there are people that are a little older than us who are on some like, no, make them pay for everything. And then there
right.
are kids that are much younger than us that are like, no one will ever pay for my music.
Right.
And I'm in a mindset where I'm like,
the middle.
I'm like, pay for my shit, but also bootleg my shit if you can't pay for
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
I'd rather have you hear it
exactly.
and not pay for it
exactly.
than like not listen to it at all.
I'm of the opinion that people don't buy music, but they support their favorite artists.
Totally.
You know what I mean? So
and that's
like,
my whole thing is like when people come to shows and they're like, yo, man, I've never bought any of your music, so I guess I'll buy a CD. I'm like, you don't got to buy a CD. I've seen you fucking singing all the
Hell
words.
Yeah.
You want me to sign your hat? I don't
Hell
give a
yeah.
shit.
The guilt that people feel when they become like real fans,
yeah.
but they haven't like contributed financially
yet. Right, right.
It's kind of hilarious.
It is. It is.
I need to play that up more. I just
second
need to...
only to white guilt in the American culture.
It's very much the same vibe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
not
I'm,
quite the same vibe.
It's a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little bit. It's fan guilt.
White people are much more miserable than fucking music fans, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, know? Yeah. But what about white music fans?
Woo! We are the worst.
Woo!
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll
Woo.
Tell you. And then we always want to come in and start stealing the genres
right,
from you guys,
right.
you know?
See, I'm a black artist, so I don't feel guilty about shit.
Yeah, you shouldn't.
I don't. I can do whatever I want.
You shouldn't. There's White people have been stealing you guys since the dawn of time.
Imitation is flattery, and it'll also get your ass killed.
I've always been very... I've always had a weird relationship with being a white rapper. Like, I've always had a little bit of strange guilt about it. You know the only thing that makes me feel better about it? white reggae singers, because they are the only thing that is more suspect than a white rapper, in my opinion.
Is the accent real? Is the accent? You don't have to put on an accent to be a white rapper.
You don't. Some people do. I choose not to, personally.
Right.
I can't stand when people do.
I've never even thought of you as a white rapper.
Because I'm just an entity, like John Brown. You remember John Brown, the white rapper show?
No.
Oh, God.
Oh, yes!
God, they need to put that on Netflix. So
with Persia or something?
Yeah, Persia D.
Yo, dude, I used to tweet with, like, what is that one girl's name? She was kind of like a... I don't remember her name, but she came out here to Hollywood.
Yeah.
And it was, like, right at the time where I was doing, like, some bigger profile stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, the show had just come out.
Yeah.
And, like, I had just gotten on Twitter. And she was like, hey, I listen to your stuff. And I'm a big fan. Check me out on VH1.
The chick from the White Rapper Show?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But she was, like... I don't remember her name, though. It wasn't Persia.
I know what you're talking about. She was, like, conscious, kind of, maybe? Was there a conscious kinda one?
But she had a stud lesbian vibe, kind of.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. The only ones I remember is John Brown, to be honest, because he was, like, holla back.
I like how you mentioned, like...
Hallelujah, holla back.
The only ones.
Yeah.
John Brown.
The only ones I remember is John Brown. Yeah.
The only few guys I remember is John Brown.
I remember John and Brown. I remember the guy that won, too, but, like, nobody talks about him anymore.
Who was the guy that won?
It was
won
the
that?
Guy that looked like Paul Wall, kind of.
Oh, right. Yeah. I watched that whole show.
Dude, it was great. I was really disappointed there wasn't a second season, and I feel like Iggy Azalea probably would have been on the second season.
Ooh, she lucked out.
She was at that point. Because you know Yella Wolf.
I'm an Iggy Azalea fan.
Not a huge fan.
Listen.
You
to
know
me.
Why? She does what white reggae rappers do. She puts on the fake voice.
I don't know. That's kind of like her thing, but like...
I feel like it's racist.
Dude, I saw her at the... I saw some video of her performing at the Made in America thing.
Yeah.
And basically her show is like she's dancing and all that stuff, and she's still rapping and sounding good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like, that is crazy.
Yeah, it's great.
That's crazy.
I will say she's a great performer, and the crazy thing is, like, I have photos. So the year that I met you when we were doing the Knox City shit, I would go out and, like, shoot all kinds of events, like, photograph them, just, like, because I was just out there being a hipster and shit.
Right.
So I have pictures of her at
parties.
And
it's a good way to get into parties.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. And so I was just out there, and, like, I have a great portrait where I pulled her aside, and I was like, hey, let me get a picture of you. And it was just at this party. She's gorgeous in real life. Really good looking girl. But my point is like, my homies that throw these parties,
they all fucked her or something?
No. They had her perform, though. And like, they're these warehouse parties, super underground. Yeah. And we've had a lot of female rappers play those parties. Right. You know, Little Debbie's played, Chippy Nonstop, all these people. And like, Iggy Azalea.
Shout out to Chippy.
Chippy's the homie. She's a good girl.
I haven't seen her in years, but she was like one of my first interviews, and she wasn't a rapper at the time.
She's really out here.
Yeah. I see her.
She's out here killing it. So.
I be seeing her.
Yeah, she's cool. She's a good performer, too. Like, she's really good on stage, good stage presence, but but Iggy Azalea would come to these warehouse parties that she's getting paid like probably $500 to play,
right,
and would have three dancers on stage with her, like doing that's full dope. Choreographed shit. Like, she was ready.
I respect that.
Yeah, she was ready.
People can win me with their live show. Like, can I hear you? Do you sound good?
Yeah.
Like, her show is kind of it's more geared towards like Katy Perry.
I was just gonna say she's
listening.
Probably the Katy Perry of rap.
But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but like, dude, that's hard to do. Dance around and sound good. Like, most dudes are sitting there, they got a bunch of dudes on stage, or they're standing still and they're yelling and they sound bad.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I used to be one of those dudes. I would jump around and yell a bunch, and now I stand very still.
Me too.
And I have a mic stand.
I have my songs where I let loose.
Yeah,
and
a little bit.
And then
for
I
sure.
come I'm like
Yeah.
Let's but bring it back.
Exactly. I need to like bring check myself and feel my voice emanating from my diaphragm.
Right. I just need a, like a spotlight. Yeah. Like all the lights off, spotlight.
I just need a mirror so I can just stare at myself the whole time.
like right in stage center, front row.
I would just be standing.
Just a mirror for you.
If I had a mirror like right in front of me at shows, I would be like the dude from American Psycho. Just like, I would just be there flexing and like, oh my God, look
but
at me.
But it would have to be elevated.
I'd be like, look at me rapping
underneath
right now.
It would be weird. Looking up, it would be like the self-facing camera that surprises you when you're taking a picture of something else.
It would be crazy.
And you see how many chins you have.
Oh God.
It's like, oh!
That's the worst. Dude.
How do I have friends?
Yeah, you have to have the MySpace angle mirror.
Like, I've had sex with a woman before. This is crazy.
I wonder if she saw those four chins. Fuck.
Yeah. Is she into chins?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, shit. My gosh. That's terrible. Now I'm going to think about that. I'm glad that this pop guard is covering my double chin from you. So anyways, yeah. Well, this is good. We've been going on some tangents. Like,
Are we? I feel like it's been pretty focused.
I have no idea what we focused on.
Honestly, I think
so we've
dropped some knowledge.
Yeah.
I hope that the kids looking for this have found this and,
yeah,
you know, find some guidance and a reason to get up tomorrow in the morning.
Where are you from originally again? I forget.
I'm originally from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah. Well, I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, but I moved to Tulsa at a very young age and all my formidable years.
How far is that from Oklahoma City?
It's about an hour and a half, depending on who's driving.
Okay.
Maybe an hour.
I've been to Oklahoma City. How do you feel about that?
Okay, that's great.
It was terrible.
That's great.
So whack there.
When was that?
2012.
See, Oklahoma's funny because it's – you definitely have to like be there with me.
Yeah, yeah. I feel that.
You know what I'm saying? It's like you got to be there with one of the cool people so you meet the other cool people.
Yeah.
But just like I would never tell someone to go on vacation to Oklahoma.
Right.
I'd be like, yeah, come with me to Oklahoma.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We were there on a photo job to shoot Kevin Durant and James Harden when they were playing there.
Okay.
And
so you were for real about the photography game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm really out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're for real about everything you do, man. I have a lot of respect for
you. I don't play.
You don't.
When I talk about push-ups, I'm being serious about push-ups. I'm just kidding. But
you do play about push-up.
I play about
everything else.
Thank you for saying that you have a lot of respect. That's very nice of you.
Yeah.
So we went, but I was gonna say we went to like Coyote Ugly in Oklahoma City, and it was like very literal. You know, like
there were ugly coyotes.
It was really ugly. People dancing on the bars that were like so butt, dude. It was crazy.
Right.
So yeah,
it's funny. One of my favorite bars back in my hometown of Tulsa. There will be just like random people on the bar on like a Friday, Saturday night. And it's never like the people that you want to see on the bar. It's always just like, oh man, what's
it's
Derek
like
doing
Billy
up there?
Billy Bob, get down.
Like,
you
shit.
Fuck.
I actually don't, the people in my town aren't like, they're not that country.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, what's Tulsa about?
Tulsa's basically, it's like a small city or like a big town. Like the country people are the people who go to Tulsa like on the weekend.
To party.
Like to party. Yeah. Like, oh, we're going in.
It's like people
we're going into the city.
It's like people that go from Whittier to Hollywood to buy bottle service.
Right. Yeah. Right. And like that's like
regional.
Where the real country people are. But, you know, in the city, it's like kids trying to take advantage of cheap rent and travel. And, you know, make music. There's like a really good music scene there now.
What kind of music? I feel like I've asked you this before.
More like indie rock sort of like hipster shit. You know what I mean? And then like the hip hop scene is just not as developed as say like a LA or like, I mean, out here there's like guys like you, there's guys like Dumbfounded, there's like who have like a little more like focus and like organization to their game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
but like,
well, and then there's also dudes like Kendrick who like took over for a year. And there's
there's more,
the hip hop scene here is so expansive. Like
there are
very fucking popular rappers that are making money here that I've never even heard of.
Exactly.
It was just crazy.
Exactly. Which was mind blowing to me.
Every once in a while I'll come across somebody on YouTube that's like from LA that has like a million views and I'll go, I've never heard of this
person.
Don't
be fooled by the views though, man.
Oh no, I know. Oh, dude, trust me. I know my analytics. I treat YouTube and Twitter and Facebook like fucking sabermetrics, bro. I get it.
I don't know what that reference means.
That's some baseball shit. Like sabermetrics is the shit that you ever see that movie Moneyball?
Yes.
Not sabermetrics.
Oh, right.
Where you have to look at the full picture of the stats.
Yo, so you know, I'm all about this new thing since I turned 30.
Yeah.
Is I never pretend.
Viagra?
Yeah. I never pretend to know something that I don't know.
So that's good.
If people
so
make
then you
a
really
reference.
Learn it.
Yeah. If people make a reference to a band or say a word that I don't know, I'm just like, what does that mean?
Right, right.
But before I would just be like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because then if you are honest with yourself about not knowing, you'll never get caught on one of those like Jimmy Fallon videos about, or like a...
You know what I mean? Where you're faking the answer.
Yeah, on Coachella, like, oh, so have you heard of hippie blood? And they're like, oh yeah, I love hippie blood.
I will never be one of those dudes.
You know?
I will never be one
of
those
dudes. Me neither. I'll be like, nah, I've not heard of that. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I am hippie blood.
So yeah.
No, but so back in Tulsa.
Tulsa.
I think that there's there's more like dudes who can rap.
Yeah.
But have no idea how to put their music out or to have no idea of like the business side of things, you know.
What is the socioeconomic and ethnic makeup of Tulsa?
It's like, I mean, it's black and white.
Yeah.
There's black people there.
Yeah. Are they fucking very separate though? Is it a segregated city, low-key?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes and no. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's like where I grew up is like I always grew up. I was raised in like the black part of town, but I went to private school like half my life with all like the white kids. Mm. So it's like I feel like I spoke two different languages. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then I was just like.
And you learn how to be a chameleon a bit.
I learned to be a chameleon, but even more than that, I learned once I stopped trying to be a chameleon, like that's when people like really would flock to me.
They just respond to you being you.
Yeah, the person who's the same person in every room around any group of people,
right?
Knowing that everyone speaks your language and you don't have to adapt to theirs,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like I learned that there.
Like, have you ever seen Quentin Tarantino talk to a group like a room full of black men?
No.
It's funny, there's videos. If you look it up on YouTube, there's videos like he totally changes his whole demeanor. He's like,
that's
he's
hilarious.
Like, yo, dog, what's up? Like,
no. Da, da, da,
da. Yeah. And it's like,
that's the most insulting.
It's like, dog,
thing
I was like,
world.
Quentin Tarantino, you're famous as fuck. Like, yeah, why are you doing that?
Yeah. It's funny, like, you know, growing up there, I'd get in, you know, say like a white friend's car.
Yeah.
And they would just be like looking for every rap CD that they had sort of like appease what they think I want to hear.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm just like, I don't even listen to this shit.
Yeah.
So, and they're like, oh my God, thank God you're one of the cool ones.
One of the cool ones.
Oh my God.
You're like, oh, I like Band of Horses too. And they're like, oh, thank God.
Like undo their ties.
I'm
like,
so sick of this Coolio CD.
Yo, I fucked with Coolio back in the day.
Coolio was tight, man.
Man.
I was actually thinking, how funny would this be to like do a mixtape full of all the like 90s one hit wonders? So you do like Gangsta's Paradise, you do a song over Gangsta's Paradise, like the beat. You do a song over fucking, you know, Ice Ice Baby. You do a song over Can't Touch This.
Yes.
Because those are all the corny fucking beats that everybody's ashamed that they liked.
But they used to be ashamed.
But
now
they're bangers, dude.
Like, now they're bangers. Yeah. They're bangers again.
Yeah.
I was talking about this on the way here too, that like, rap has gotten so mature now that old guys can do like the comeback circuit now. Like there's actually a comeback circuit.
Yeah.
When before there was just like, you're old.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Go be miserable. Struggle. Do something else type shit.
I think the singular most crazy hip hop fact that I'm aware of is Big Daddy Kane is only 1 year older than Jay-Z.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Whoa.
Because in your brain, you separate those two people as old school and new school. They're a year apart.
That's nuts.
Isn't that weird?
That's nuts.
Yeah.
And you just wanted to blow my mind.
Well,
real quick.
That's the thing is that I've seen Big Daddy Kane perform within the last 2 years, and he still fucking murders it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He murders it.
Yeah, he's still dancing. Great. He's still doing the split.
Still does the split.
Sting.
But you know what? He's out there performing to a room of maybe 50 hipsters at a fucking party that somebody sponsored, whereas Jay-Z's still selling out Staples.
Exactly.
You know, it's crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, he is a freak of... He's a freak.
Yeah,
of the
Jay-Z's
game,
crazy. You know? Yeah, it's a different. That's a different type of human being.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
You know what I've always said too. You know how the soul music kind like the throwback soul music came back. Like I feel like Amy Winehouse was like a big trendsetter in that.
Right.
Where like her and Ronson got together and they made an album that sounded old.
Right.
And then who's the dude from Tony? Can't think of his name.
Rafael Sadiq.
Yeah, Rafael Sadiq did it and made that record that sounded like it was straight out of the 60s.
Yes.
And then you had guys like Lee Fields have a comeback. And then you had the other dude
which
that
is
sounds,
amazing.
Yeah, he's great. The other dude that sounds... Oh, Charles Bradley. He's great. You would like him. Charles Bradley, you'd really like it. Okay. Sharon Jones and the Dap
Kings. Yeah, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings.
That whole subgenre, right? Throwback soul.
Right.
I'm like, yo, why doesn't Rakim make a throwback record that sounds like an 80s rap record?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yo, that would be crazy.
Like, get the same equipment. Get the fucking same SSL you guys were using back in the
day. Well, that's kind of what Joey Badass is.
Do it on tapes.
You know?
Is he?
He's kind of like that throwback to like the 93 to infinity.
Is he a throwback or is he a throwaway raucous rapper era or raucous era rapper? Because that's how
I think Joey Badass is dope.
Maybe I haven't listened enough. And I'm not sure. I'm kind of hating.
I mean, but I listened to like eight songs while me and No Can Do were driving around LA looking for a party.
Right.
And like we were in like the back seat and we were like, oh, it feels like we're in high school. And then Joey Badass came on and it was like, we're in high school. What the hell?
Yeah, yeah.
It was amazing. It was special.
I feel that. But that's the thing is, I think he's still doing all that shit in Pro Tools. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas I'm like, yo, put Rakim in a fucking booth that's with tape running. And
why don't you do that, though?
I would love to.
You'd kill that.
I would love to A&R that project. That'd be amazing.
I think you should make that project.
So I'll do a Kickstarter for it and see if the God will fuck with us. So, but yeah, that would be like a dream to hear like a real 80s rap record with like a real 80s rapper and have that sound would be so cool.
I don't know if he's like at that place where he'd be able to accept that he's that, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think he's still wearing like Timberlands and baggy jeans.
I think Rakim's a realist.
I think he's a real dude. I just, you know, I've been around a lot of that era rapper in New York.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And those guys are kind of still, they still have the attitude of like, they're the illest and everything's going to come back around. And I think if you pitch it to them as like a throwback thing, they'd be like, you calling me old?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's definitely an ego thing. And that's the thing is that, you would have to definitely ease somebody
into that. I think it would have to be a new guy.
The thing about like dudes like Rakim and Big Daddy Kane, they did continue to get better as rappers. Like Rakim, I mean, even as far back, what was that song? Like the Tweet remix he was on or something? Or was it Oops, There Goes My...
I like Tweet.
Whatever.
What happened to Tweet?
I don't know.
She was amazing.
Well, Twitter came along, fucked her whole gameplay up. You know what I mean? Like the SEO,
no longer Googleable.
The SEO on Tweet is no longer very strong.
Even if you like Tweet or if you like Google Tweet R&B.
If you tweet about Tweet,
you're dead.
I mean, does the world explode?
I think your computer melts.
Yeah. So
turns into a Capri Sun.
Rakim could still rap really fucking good, and modern sounding. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Big Daddy Kane can still rap and do it modern sounding.
Right.
Dudes like the Beastie Boys, they stayed old school rapping their whole career.
Which is amazing.
They never went away from
that. How did that work?
They never really got better as rappers. They just kind of like, we're good at what we do.
Right.
So convincing somebody that did get better at what they do to go backwards is probably a tough sell.
Yeah. But I also think that it's like, you know, Amy Winehouse wasn't born in the 50s. She was a new artist.
Yeah.
Fresh new artist.
I love that sound.
That reminded you of like a retro sound. So it was like a new feeling thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I feel like if it was like a new rapper who was like, I'm the new guy and I'm here to say, this is how I rap in every way, people would be like, oh, this is fucking crazy.
See, totally. But I want it like from the late 80s when they got past that, like Rakim broke the door open to that whole like 5%er mysticism.
Yeah.
And like, or, you know, Big Daddy Kane, no pork on my fork, strictly fish on my dish, that shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the
era you're talking about. Yeah.
That was that shit. Yeah. After Technotronics and
You want to know something crazy?
Yeah.
While I was in New York, I was staying at, for half the time, I was staying at Immortal Techniques record labels. Like they had like an extra
room or something.
Like an extra bedroom.
Yeah.
And it was like owned by this like old dude named John who sold like a bunch of like old art paintings in the 80s and got millions of dollars, but whatever.
Right. Yeah.
So like he had this like sick VHS collection.
Wow.
And I found a literal bootleg of Juice, like a movie theater bootleg of Juice at like the premiere.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So
Juice,
it was
so
like
tight.
91 or something.
92,
you can see like silhouettes of like people's Gumbies.
Wow.
And like people cheering every time Tupac was on the screen and shit. It was crazy.
That sounds dope.
It was crazy. I almost stole it.
That sounds somewhat priceless.
I know. And then I was like, no, I'm not going
to
do that.
Yeah, that means a lot to somebody.
Yeah. This isn't gonna be where I turn to a life of crime to get the bootleg of Juice. Like the original bootleg of Juice.
A life of crime.
Yeah.
Like, you steal the bootleg of Juice and all of a sudden you become Tupac's character. You're like shooting people in a basement and shit.
I am crazy.
Yeah, pushing people off of fucking building tops. Yeah, you got the Juice now. Fuck. That's funny.
Yeah, but it was like, it felt like a piece of hip hop street history
that no one's really gotten to see.
Yeah, and I don't know if it like, would that be worth money now? Could I sell that like an original bootleg?
I feel like you could make a documentary about that VHS tape.
Right.
Trace the lineage of it.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
That'd be so
like, yo, where'd you get this from? Yeah, the, what do they call that? The Mona Lisa, right? It's not priceless because of the painting. It's priceless because of the
story behind it.
Whose hands have touched it as it's been moved around. You know what I mean? So it was in this king's house and then this king's house and then, and then it got stolen by these people and recovered by these people and hung in this museum and then this museum.
Right.
It's not the lineage, but it's a term that's like synonymous with kind of the lineage of the painting.
Okay.
Like there's this whole documentary about there's this Jackson Pollock painting that this lady found in a attic. In an attic or at a garage sale or something.
Yeah.
To the point where they have like his fingerprints are on it and all this shit and like, you know.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah, like there's – and like his DNA is on the painting, right?
Right.
It ain't worth shit. She's never been able to sell it because there's no lineage of like – this right. went from okay. his studio to the Got next you. Person. This person sold it to that person.
Got you.
Then it ended up here.
How do you even prove that? Like, what?
There's paperwork, you know what I mean? Like certificates and shit. It's like a birth certificate.
Could we do that with the bootleg, though? That's a great idea.
Maybe. You might be able to. That word always bugs me because it's one of those words where it's like, remember this word next time you're having a conversation. So you can say it. And I can never remember the fucking word.
So I could have learned something.
Yeah, but now you haven't learned shit. Mm. Unless you go to Netflix and look up that Jackson Pollock documentary.
Okay.
So yeah, private school. What's that all about?
Private school is like my parents were just always really resourceful.
Yeah.
And they always.
What did they do?
Well, my dad, rest in peace, was just kind of a. He was a. Against the grain, by any means necessary, don't work for any, like, try to be an entrepreneur.
So was he, like, an entrepreneur or, like, a hustler? Like, what did he do?
He was kind of, like, he was a mix between the two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I can think of 15 different businesses that he, like, tried to start or was running for a second.
Like, in the 80s and 90s?
Like, in the 80s and 90s.
Was
like,
one of them, like, a hi-fi store? Like, did he sell stereos at any point?
No, one of them was... like a community outreach center that was just like this big, huge open building. And he would just do anything and everything there. Like he would throw like boxing matches.
That sounds posy, dude.
Yeah. No, it's just dope.
That sounds like, very positive.
Yeah. And then like he'd turn it into like a skating rink every once in a while. Yeah. And he'd do like barbecues and costume things on Halloween and stuff like that. Then like
elephants. Were there ever elephants?
No elephants. This was back in Ohio.
That would have been tight.
I don't think that elephants have ever been to Ohio.
There's circuses, man. There's got to be a zoo in Ohio.
Actually, there's a crazy kind of wild people who own wild animals in Ohio.
I believe
like people who own like lions and stuff. Have you ever seen that documentary?
I have. It's crazy.
What's that called? That is the saddest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, all the tigers just mad miserable and
Man, they're just like, I'm a tiger.
Yeah.
I'm not a kitten.
Yeah. They're all like biting their own hair out and shit.
They're like committing suicide. all those, or the lions? No, they were lions.
There's lions and all kinds of shit.
Yeah. And then people who have like crazy snakes and monkeys and so it's all in Ohio.
When you guys moved to Tulsa, what did he do?
When we moved here, he was When I moved to Tulsa, he was like running some construction thing. And then he was like...
So could he could build shit? He could make shit with his hands?
Yeah, he was more like... He was more of the guy like supervising and like, you know, stuff like that. And then like as he got older, it kind of started to become more things he was doing with his hands.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then he actually just recently passed in June, which is what I was doing Oklahoma. It was his fourth heart attack.
Wow. How old is he?
He was 63.
That's so young, dude. Yeah. I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah. No, it's all good, man. Yeah. It's all good because it was like when you have so many, it's almost like you're just like bracing for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But still, that's
– I don't know. I've known
when
people –
When was his first one?
His first one was 2001
or something.
Yeah.
So then, did he have to have like bypass surgeries and shit?
Mm-mm. He didn't have any surgeries or anything. He had one because we were getting into like a crazy father and son argument and he had one like mid-argument.
A heart attack. Holy shit.
Got in the car and like drove himself to the hospital.
What year was that?
This was 2000. Six or something.
Wow. Do you have an older sister or something?
I do.
Yeah. Just one sibling?
No, I have an older sister and a younger sister.
And a younger sister. So you're a middle child with sister sandwiching.
Yeah.
Okay. How much older is the older?
She's 2 years, and then my younger sister is 8 years younger than me.
So was she like a oopsie baby or what?
No, I don't. I really don't know if she was on purpose or not. We were just all like really excited.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I was super excited that I got a day out of school when she was born.
That's tight.
It was like right in the morning too. Yeah. And they were like, hey.
Did everybody go home to meet for like the funeral and all that stuff? Or do they still live
out
there?
My sister was in New York, or my older sister was in New York. My younger sister is out here and was living with me for a while, but she just moved. And so we all went back to Oklahoma. It was actually a really amazing funeral. Yeah. It was like
still together?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah.
So this is only like 2-3 months ago.
Dude, I'm telling you, I've had a crazy summer.
Fuck.
I had a crazy summer. Like it was like just started coming to my shows and my dad died.
This great month and then this really shitty month.
Right.
What?
And I had my sister.
Were you in New York when you got the call?
Well, I was in New York and I had just finished the residency and I had my sister backup singing and stuff for me. Mm-hmm. So he was like just all about it. Like my parents have always been incredible supporters of my music and just anything I wanted to do. If I told them I wanted to be a marine biologist, they would have, you know, gotten me a kiddie pool.
Scuba gear.
Yeah, something on their like little budget just like as a gesture. Yeah. And they'd be like, those are the best.
Here's a SeaWorld season pass.
No, but those are the best passes we could get, you know?
Yeah.
But so I was just like, I was just on the couch.
Yeah.
And my mom called and was like, hey, your dad was mowing the lawn and just basically dropped dead.
She was that calm?
Yeah. Yeah. My mom's kind of a...
Ugh.
Yeah, my mom's she's a hard woman to explain.
I was gonna say, my dad's sick. He has Alzheimer's disease, and so
wow,
yeah, and he's only 60.
I'm sorry, man.
It is what it is. It's not your fault. You don't have to apologize for that. But that's the thing is that I morbidly sometimes think about like what the future will bring.
See, I do that too.
And that phone call that I'm gonna get, and I have a feeling that like my mom is gonna be fucking
in pieces.
She's gonna be crazy. When she's you know, she's gonna be devastated.
Yeah, my older sister was more of like she was more of like the outwardly screaming like, oh my lord, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so like everyone just sort of like got it together to like keep her up because she is like kind of like the third parent of my family. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So then.
So you flew back home?
Yeah, so I flew back home. I actually played. Well, no. So she brought him back to life. She resuscitated
him.
Your
mom did?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out.
Like she did CPR.
Yeah.
And then the ambulance came and he was in a coma.
Yeah.
And then
so she gave him CPR until he had like a pulse and was breathing a little bit again?
Yeah, she gave him CPR until the ambulance showed up.
Oh, okay.
And then by the time they got there, they were able to like resuscitate him or at least get him a pulse.
Yeah.
And then he was in a coma for like 3 or 4 days and then he like woke up on Father's Day and I was in Seattle playing a show at Nectar Lounge. Have you ever played
there?
So like the last time I talked to him, he was like John. I was like, hey, Dad.
Actually, like over the phone?
Yeah, over the phone.
Oh, so you got to talk to him again after his heart attack.
Oh, yeah, on Father's Day.
That's amazing.
Which is amazing because I had called and you were like, oh, he's not waking up. Then my mom called and she was like, talk to your dad. And he was like, John. I was like, hey, Dad. And he's like, you in California?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm in Seattle. He's like, oh, what, you playing a show? And I was just like, yeah. And he was like, oh, I love you, man. And that was like the last time I talked to him.
Ugh.
And so then I went back. Then he like went back into the coma or whatever.
Yeah.
I flew back and he was in a coma for, I don't know, 3 or 4 more days.
Yeah.
And then I.
Was it one of those things where you guys had to decide like, do we want to pull life support or something?
No, it was getting there though.
Yeah.
It was definitely, it was only like maybe 1 more day.
Yeah.
Maybe 2.
Yeah.
Until we like had to make that sort of decision.
Right.
But and then they just lost him. And it was so dramatic, man. It was so dramatic.
Why?
Like I was in town.
Were you
I
in
was,
the room?
No, I was shooting a video and I was like picking up some stuff at like a craft store. And my mom called and like she was like, you need to get to the hospital right now. And I could just hear it in her voice, you know?
Yeah.
And so we just dropped everything. I hopped in the car to like sky turns dark. It literally starts raining, like pouring rain.
Wow.
I had a show that night.
Yeah.
And by the time we get to the hospital, the elevator is not working. He's on like the 8th floor, which I don't know if every hospital is like this, but like the further up you are, it's like the more you're fucked. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you're on like the 8th floor, that's like the ICU. And then like the 5th floor is like, oh, he's doing a little better.
And like the first floor is like where babies are born. It's like life is blossoming the on first
the first floor. Is like a valet.
Yeah.
The first
floor, there's like babies are being born and there's a vibrant rainforest growing from the floor.
Right. Like, exactly.
Rainbows and bunnies jumping
exactly.
Around.
Yeah, so yeah. Throughout the week, he had been going from floor to floor. Like he was like 5th floor, 6th yeah. floor, 8th floor. And then, so by the time I got there, you know, it was raining and then the elevator wasn't working. Yeah. So I had to run up the steps, and then by the time I got up the steps, by the time I got to the 8th floor,
I could
just hear it, you know, yeah. people screaming, and my Aunt Madeline, like, came out and just, like, waved her hands, and she was like, he's gone.
Yeah.
And I was just, like, and then just I just stopped run. Running, and I was yeah. like, fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was weird, man. So,
that sounds like a
But I played
day.
A show that night.
How was that?
It was amazing.
Did you talk about it?
Yeah, I had to, because, like, by that time, it was, you know, it's a small town, it's a, you know, small yeah. city where I'm from.
Were you conflicted about playing that show? Did you
not think, at all? No? Not even for a second.
Like
no.
your dad would have wanted you to.
Oh yeah, he yeah. was at every one of my shows. Yeah. Like any show that I played in town or within
yeah.
an hour, you know, he was like at the show.
He was there and he was freaking some booty.
You know what I mean? All like my local fans, like they all pretty much like know my
yeah,
dad.
Yeah, like, oh, Papa John.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He'll be like in the back and he'll yeah. like he had like his canes that he made and like jewelry.
Yeah.
And he was like always like humble bragging.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if someone wasn't noticing him, he'd just like lean over and just be like.
He'd be like, you realize this is a Stingray skin jacket, right? Yeah.
You realize I made this, yeah, right? And that's my son on stage. Yeah. Oh, you here for Johnny Polygon?
Yeah.
Because that's the one thing. People have always come to my shows in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's weird because I feel like I've had this like weird, famous,
local following
training or? Course.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like in a very like focused, almost like a simulation.
Right.
Like here's your fame simulation. Every time you go home, you're gonna be this famous person.
Yeah.
And then every time you leave, no one's gonna care about yeah, any yeah. of it.
Totally.
You know what I mean? So totally. I'll like be home and like I'm getting free stuff all the time. People are buying me drinks and taking pictures and autographs, people like slamming on their brakes and screaming when I'm walking down the street, you know
really?
What I mean? On wow. some like on some Bieber.
Yeah.
You know no what shit. I mean? It, wow. It's like it's weird, man. Yeah. And then like
but it's all women that look like Honey Boo Boo.
Dude, there's some
no,
really beautiful girls
I'm
in
Oklahoma.
Kidding,
I'm kidding,
no, really, but
I believe
I do
it.
Have some Honey Boo Boo looking ass fans. So don't get
I
it.
I believe that there's
don't
I
get
actually,
it twisted.
Yeah. I saw more beautiful women in Oklahoma walking around in the street than I did like at the bars that night, though.
Right, right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
It's crazy.
You may have been. Where'd you play when you were there?
Oh, no, I wasn't playing. I was just there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I was shooting. But yeah, it was.
You never played there, though? Oh, you don't like touring?
I don't really tour. Yeah, I've never toured.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
I've toured a little bit.
Why? What don't you like about touring?
I'm just a cancer, dude. I'm a homebody. I like to be at home chilling.
Okay.
I don't like to wear pants a lot.
Okay.
So.
I caught that vibe from you.
It's
because you're not wearing pants right now.
I actually think that I just recently started telling myself I don't like touring because I've never really been able to pull it off.
Oh.
So and now I feel like
touring is hard.
And so now I feel like I'm like getting too old to start. And so I'm trying to go like, oh no, you just never liked it.
Nah, false.
To convince myself.
We could tour.
Yeah,
we should.
We could, and that's the thing is that.
But I don't know if I'd want to go out with that attitude. I don't know about that, Mister.
Well, that's the thing is that I always told myself like I want to tour if I can go out and I'm like supposed to tour and I'm playing a bunch of fucking sold out shows and that would make me feel like
that's
oh, yeah.
the most spoiled thing I've ever heard.
That's fine. I'm spoiled. I'm like
that's the same as like when I hear
I don't want to eat any shit on the road. I'm too old and I make too much money at home to like go out and not make any money on the road. That's right. My real reasoning is like I make good money in LA. Doing shit, and so I don't want to like leave.
Which is an amazing feat. It's hard to make money.
It is. It's hard, and I have a bunch of different hustles in order to do it, and
right.
I stay really busy here. But if I was to leave and eat shit for a month,
right.
My whole ecosystem here would break down. You know what I mean? So that
I don't know, man.
It'd be bad.
I don't know. I think.
Meh.
So you never been on any tours? Ever?
I've been on a couple. I've toured a couple. I toured with James and Jonathan. I toured with James, Dumb, and Mike.
But I mean, I feel like Dumb's just kind of like hit his stride when it comes to touring. Like, well, that guy's killing it right now.
I don't know if he like headlines a lot of tours. I don't know. I mean, I think he plays a ton of spot dates and gets good, does really well with that.
I saw like, he went out with Watsky or whatever.
Him and Watsky have gone out a couple times together. And,
you guys friends? Are you allowed to say that?
Who, Watsky?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
I
love George. He's
dude,
great.
First time I met him, we played in Kansas to nobody. In 2000, what was that, 2009 or something like that? It was like before Ellen.
Yeah.
Before he was on Ellen.
So you knew him. Oh, yeah. I think we talked about this actually. In the 11 podcast because we had just done George.
And
then you came in and you're like, oh, yeah, I fucking know George because his picture on the wall or something.
No, he was there.
Oh, he was there.
Right. The Knox City thing. And it was like, hey. And I was like, hey.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's
you
right.
You know what I mean? Then I like. Look him up online, and he's got like all these millions of...
The rap world is mad small, dude.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Nah, George is a great dude, and...
I feel like there's like a... It's like a little bottleneck.
Yeah.
Like, and like right there at the top, right before you explode out of the bottle, like there's like all of us there. We're all just kind of like... not even like fighting each other, but just like the kinetic energy is just sort of
And the craziest shit is in the last few years, I've seen a bunch of dudes that I know started at the same time as me.
Right.
Blow up.
Right.
Fucking, you know, with Macklemore happening.
Yeah.
With G-Eazy happening.
Which is great.
I remember the first time I heard G-Eazy's name was in 2010 and I had just put out this song. I was like rapping over a Jai Paul beat.
Right.
And then he put out a song rapping over that same Jai Paul beat.
Right.
And I was like, this fucking guy.
You're like, who is this guy?
I already fucking did this.
Right.
But his is good. And then now, here we are 4 years later. And he's like about to be the next Macklemore, maybe.
Yeah. No, you know? Dude,
he's about to blow.
He's about to really like.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
Already doing like really well.
Yeah. And there's all these kids that are like from the same, like. Essentially, the internet has made all that kind of the same scene.
Right. And it's weird. I kind of feel like I've, like, you know, I remember I had just missed out on the very first XXL freshman thing. Like, those were, like, all of my friends on that one. Like, you know, it was, like, Cuddy and, like, Wale and, like, Charles Hamilton. And, like, these were the guys that, you know, I had just signed a deal in New York, and I was just out there with
Who did you sign with?
Green Lantern. DJ Green Lantern.
Yeah, DJ Green Lantern. That's right.
And I had just landed a spot on, like, I don't know if Nas's album was out then or maybe it was.
I remember
like
you telling me this. You were singing on Nas's album.
Yeah.
And you have that great story about him like not knowing your name or something, right? He told you like Johnny Hexagon or some shit.
No. He always had like he could never remember my last name.
Because like this is Jimmy Polyaboris.
So he would just always be like, hey everyone, give it up for Johnny B.
Oh shit.
Johnny C.
Yeah.
Johnny D.
Yeah.
And I was like, ooh, we gonna get there. He's just going up the alphabet, like, ooh.
He's like Johnny P. And you're like,
ah! Yeah.
You start moonwalking across
the
stage.
No, honestly, the first time he pronounced the letter right was on BET. Like we had done a song for the inauguration for Obama.
Yeah.
And like we had done like a performance thing. And I remember like right before we were like backstage and it was like we were filming on Martin Luther King Day and it was like BET Studios. And like it was just like the blackest thing I've ever done in my life.
I remember you telling me.
Yeah, like the first black president and everything. And I was just like, it's just me and him backstage. And by this point, I had like built a rapport with him.
Yeah.
You know, like there was like, dude, there was like 10 shows. I was like, oh my God, what do I say to Nas? You know what I mean? Like, whoa.
I really liked you in Belly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, what do you say to someone of like this level? And I was just, so by that time, I had just been around a lot of those people at that level that I had just gotten like pretty comfortable, you know? And I was like, hey, man.
Like, my name is fucking Johnny Potter.
I was like, yo, man, my whole city is like watching this. My parents are watching this. Like, back in Tulsa, there was like a bar that just like got a TV and like everyone went to like watch me perform on TV. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, it was like a big thing. I was like, hey, man, so I really need you to say my name right. It's Johnny Polygon. And he was like, okay, Johnny Polygon, blah, 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 blah. And like, he goes out. And I come out on stage like shortly after that, and he's like, "Everyone, give it up for my man Johnny P." And I was just like, dude, fuck it. It's great. Like,
that's the right initial.
It's a P. Like, yeah. That's great. That's,
hell yeah.
Yeah, man. And then, so how did we get on this subject?
I don't know, but that was a great story. That was in 08?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So this is in 08, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I had started to catch, like, a little.
We were talking about the bottleneck.
The bottleneck.
That's the thing is, like, you were right there.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then, like, yeah, so, like.
But here's the thing. I didn't have, like. That, like, wasn't my time.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have my shit together at all.
Right.
I was just, like, I was literally sleeping on couches in L.A., couch surfing and shit. I had moved out here in, like, 2004.
Yeah.
My dad had dropped me off.
I remember that.
$297.
You were selling CDs on Venice.
I was one of those dudes, you know what I mean? And I was like,
I remember that.
Check out my CD, my headphones, you know, blah, blah, blah. I did that for years. That's how I got by.
Right.
You know? And then all of a sudden, I was like, boom, I'm in New York. I'm with Green Lantern. I was like, oh, but the first thing that happened is I went to Vegas to meet Green Lantern for the first time. And he was like Jay-Z's DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay-Z was doing the mashup album
with Linkin Park. Ugh.
So the first time I had met any like famous rappers or anything, it was Green Lantern, Jay-Z, and like all of Linkin Park like in a hotel room. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
And I was just like, I don't even remember where I slept the night before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, like, it was just like this big, like, mind fuck. You know what I mean? So
you're like, Jay-Z, did you know that Big Daddy Kane's only a year older than you?
Dude, I actually gave Jay-Z like a high five.
A high five. That's great.
I haven't seen him since, but I hope he remembers.
You know what? I bet you he does.
Because he has to.
Jay-Z, similar to Bill Clinton, those are aerobic listeners.
Right, right, right.
From what I've heard, they make you feel like you're the only person in the room.
They
listen to you.
They do. Which is the difference between Jay-Z and Nas.
Right.
Like, because Nas,
it took him fucking 18 shows till you got to the letter P.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, you know, he's just not like a super social dude. Like, the difference between like a Jay-Z backstage situation and like a Nas backstage situation. Like, dude, when we did like Rock the Bells, Nas like doesn't use his dressing room at all. He just like stays on the bus, does his shit, and leaves.
Yeah.
So like everyone would always use Nas's dressing room as like a little kick it area and shit. You know what I mean? So like when we were out in New York, it was like if you were to do an all-star rap cartoon of a backstage rap show. I mean, I'm talking like Wu-Tang Clan like shooting craps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Smoking blunts and like cussing and shit.
Chris Brown beating women up.
Dude, it was crazy. Yeah. And then like, but like Wale, who was like my homie back then, you know, like we were, because we'd be around each other like that. He was like playing at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And like when we were in like DC, I remember him just being upset. Like he was like,
because he's the man in DC.
He's like, oh man, this is my city. And like, I got to play at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
But it's like he was up against, you know, like Red and Meth and Far Side and all like these legends who had put in years in the game.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, so, oh, I remember how we got here. The double XL, the bottleneck freshman thing.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know what I mean? So each one of those people, like you have your, you have the moment when the stars align for you, and it has nothing to do with like skill.
Yeah.
It has more to do with like persistence,
and you know? It has a lot to do with probably your maturity level.
Absolutely,
it has a lot to do with it's just right place, right time. And
absolutely,
and that's the thing is that in hindsight, I'm sure that you can recognize that that period of your life is what convinced you that this is the right path for you.
Listen to me, I was like, I got not even a front row seat, man. I got to be like Nas's.
You got a backstage seat.
Yo, I got to be Nas's guest every night.
Yeah.
The headlining spot every night. I'd be next to like the god of rap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'd be like his dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it was like beyond any shadow of a doubt, once you're in front of like 30,000 people,
you can't get that feeling.
There's
out
no
of your head.
There's nothing that can. I'm like, okay, if I have to go back to playing to nobody, and then five people, and I'll eventually get back to 30,000.
I
like,
need to do that.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so that's what I'm saying is that I'm sure, being an empathetic person and thinking that you and I probably think similarly in a lot of ways, I feel like you probably had to go through some phase of fucking depression and existential crisis.
Dude, I'm literally just getting out of it.
Exactly. When it, when it kind of, when you felt like, oh, fuck, like, what did I do wrong type of shit. But eventually, like, now that you're in a better spot,
I'm
sure you look back and you go, I wasn't ready.
Well, no, because I think about this. The whole time I was on tour with Nas and I was, like, coming out on his album and, like, I had, like, a song in, like, Grand Theft Auto and, like, all this stuff. No album out.
Yeah.
No mixtape.
Right.
No nothing.
Right.
And no real plans for it either.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, when I look back at it, I'm like...
Pause.
Right. Well, okay. So when I look in retrospect, you know, it's like, how could I, like, if anything like that ever happened again, I would, like, have an album ready or, like, have, like, a, like, my own thing ready. Like, I was always out on stage for a minute and a half with Nas, but I wasn't, like, opening, doing my own stuff or anything like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, but I learned the business.
In a sense, you can look back on that and, and realize, like, oh, I was getting my chops up.
Yo,
but
it's
wasn't ready yet.
That's all it is, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all it is. And then, like, I see certain people, like, if we had that XXL freshman cover, right in front of us, you can see the people who, like, really excelled, like, the people who were ready.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like, boom.
Or double XL'd, if you will.
Right. Yeah. No, you know what I mean?
That's a pun.
Well, whatever. But
so the people that made it and the people that didn't.
Yeah, the people that made it and the people that didn't. The people that didn't have their...
Charles Hamilton is a perfect example of
someone. He's the next guy I was going to talk about. Like,
didn't make it.
That was, like, one of the first people that I got paired with.
Yeah.
When I was...
You guys had a similar, like, weird...
You're weird. He's weird.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys should know each other. Yep. Get in the studio right now.
Yeah.
So we, like, you know, so I, like, knew Charles.
Yeah.
And then I, like, saw Charles.
He got sick. Did he get sick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, dude, he was at that age where, like, schizophrenia and bipolar disorder starts to take over. And I felt like as I was
mixed
watching
it with fame.
And that's the thing, is I thought, like, as I was watching his story unfold, with the things that I've read about mental health issues, I was like, this seems like textbook, and it seems like the people around him are really bad for him and they're not helping him.
Yeah, no, not at all. Yeah. I mean, because he didn't have, like,
a good team.
He didn't have a team. He had a good business team, but not like a good life team.
Yeah, he didn't have people that, like, worked.
He didn't have people who, like, fucked with him. Like,
he had people who was caring for his money, or people caring for the money he was going to make, but no one caring for, like, his well-being.
Exactly.
It seemed like.
Exactly. Yeah. And but then it's like, you know, you had guys like Cuddy who were just like, ready.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
You know, out of here.
We photographed Kid Cudi a couple months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I'd never met him before.
How was that?
He is an amazing male model. He seems like someone, I swear to you, he seems like someone that, like, really, he understands how to, like, look good on camera, and I feel like he must practice.
Right.
You know? Or,
well,
like,
he's been famous
or
for
just
a,
done
a
it for so long.
He's, like, been famous for a long time now.
He fucking killed modeling for us better than, like, supermodels have.
Right.
He was really good at it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's why he's acting and, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Which is crazy, dude. I never talk about any of these guys, like.
Oh, my favorite part of the day was when we talked about his acting, and I said something like, yo, Lake Bell's titties, you did that for us. That's what I told him.
Wow.
I said, dog, Lake Bell's titties, you did that for us. And everybody started cracking up.
Dude, me and that guy have probably one of the strangest friendship relationships out of, I don't know. If I were to ever do, like, a bio picture or whatever, I don't know how that chapter would all.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're friends, but it's like, I think it would just be like this weird, like, you know how, like, you know how Pac was in the Notorious movie?
Yeah.
For like 30 seconds or
I
something.
I never saw the Notorious movie. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, you should.
That's on my 30-year-old shit.
Boom.
Like,
I just.
I've not seen it.
Nice.
Yeah.
You should. It's good.
You know. Rap biopics, like, they
it's
scare
good.
Me.
It's good. It's
okay. I'll watch it.
Yeah. There's a reason it had a theatrical release.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And it wasn't like a BET original film.
I'll do it. I'll do it.
You know what
because
I'm saying?
You're telling me that, I will do it.
Yeah. I mean, are you a Biggie fan? Or?
Yeah, huge Biggie fan.
You'll love it then. You won't learn anything new.
Okay.
But you'll see people who kind of look like the people in the stories.
Did you ever see Cadillac Records?
No, I didn't.
You would really like that movie.
See, I tried to watch some of it. But
you look like you could be a character in Cadillac.
I know. I look like I came out of the 50s.
You have Muddy Waters haircut.
Yeah.
For sure.
Dude, I get the crazy cougar love.
Oh, I bet.
Men's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, we've been talking for a long time already. Did you know that? It's been an hour. It's been over an hour.
Has it?
But I feel like we haven't even accomplished anything because it's just been such a good, like, free flowing right. conversation. Right. Like, we have not talked really about your life at all.
Right, right. We've just Should there
been,
be like
we've just been bullshitting
useful information?
I don't know. I wonder about that sometimes. I will tell you that the ones that I have the most fun with is ones like this where I feel like I'm just talking to a friend.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It feels better than like having to be like, oh, so like, did you get good grades in school? Did you
right,
do,
right,
like,
right,
like,
right.
I, like honestly, when people don't like to talk, I run out of questions.
Right, right, right.
It's these ones where there's like no questions, they're the best ones. They're the most entertaining.
I don't even know what we've been talking about.
I don't either. It's been crazy.
I probably said too much.
No, it's fine. So yeah, I don't know. Like let's try to summarize real quick. Like so what happens? Like what was the fall of Johnny Polygon from the major scene?
There was no real fall. It was like, and I was never really on a major.
Yeah,
I just happened to be.
You just got hooked up with the right people.
I just got hooked up with the right people and just sort of like built a network that.
Didn't you get signed with Schwazy for a while or something like that?
Yeah, I was with Cisco.
How did that happen?
Cisco like, Adler.
Was that good?
That was, yeah, that was good. That actually, I learned. Here's the thing. When I was with Green Lantern, I learned like music, business, behind the scenes, this is who the people are, this is how things work, and blah, 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 blah. But I never learned one thing about having fans and like how you treat fans.
Yeah. Until I got, guys don't have to treat fans
because they don't have to, they ignore them. They're just like, they're just like, get me in, get me out, get me around my
don't
people.
Don't let anyone touch
Don't
me.
Let anyone back here. Yeah. Here's all the bodyguards and security.
Give me six giant Samoan dudes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so it was like, but like, so I learned the, like I got behind the curtain immediately on my first deal.
You got to see a lot of snobby shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then when I was with Cisco, he was
the exact
like,
opposite.
He was like fans.
Treat him
this
good.
This one
and
dude
you good.
Gives a fuck about your music.
Yeah.
Remember his name.
Yeah.
And like shout him out on his birthday and do all that shit because that one dude's gonna turn into three dudes.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And then they're gonna start bringing some chicks and then it's gonna be like this whole big thing. You know what I mean?
We talk about that on here so much. Like I said, I think Radiohead said it. Like you only need 1,000 fans that will spend $100 on you every year.
Boom.
And then you got $100,000.
Dude,
you know what I mean?
Dude.
So
yeah, I mean that's sort of like what my I have a fan club that's like a membership club.
Yeah,
that's called the Jontourage, and it's like $30 a month for
and
just
you
like
you send tons of BBW porn,
BBW jazz, baby.
Fuck.
It's like tons of saxophone solos on people's voicemails and shit.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like you know people can opt in or they can drop out anytime they want, and it's
you
just sort of like
a song a month or something.
Yeah, or I just like you know
call them on the phone,
free merch.
Yeah,
you
here's
know.
A dick pic.
Yeah, you know, just like you know, we crossed the line.
Here's
that's what they pay for.
Here's a Snapchat of my butthole. Hey, this month's prize.
Got nothing for you this month, so here's me in a towel.
Yeah, here's a picture of me as a baby. Like, what? Why do I don't want this. What am I paying for?
But it's like, you know, I learned all that while I was like...
With Cisco and him.
Yeah, with, you know, because they just have this party vibe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just like, yeah, come over.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Cisco hit me up on Twitter and was like, hey, next time you're in LA, come out to Malibu.
Yeah.
And I was like, I live in LA. And he was like, come over.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then, like, dude, we were hanging out over there for, I don't know, maybe 6 months. And then he was like, hey, I want to put out your next album. And I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So it's like, so that was like my second deal, which was
that whole conversation sounded very Malibu. Like, all right, cool. Yeah, man.
Exactly.
Pass the doobie.
Exactly. That's how it was. But when I was with Cisco, it was like I was with a completely different. That was like a completely different world from like New York, Malibu versus New York. You know what I mean? And I'm a kid from Oklahoma.
Might as well be a different country.
You know what I mean? So it was like I've always been sort of a fish out of.
Yeah.
Water sort of vibe, you know what I mean?
Right.
But like, yeah, and then, you know, Schwazy actually wasn't around that much
while
I was signed with him, but, you know, he's a cool guy as well.
Right.
And they have their own, and that was also where I learned that you don't have to drop, like, hit records all the time to make a living.
Right.
You know what I mean? You don't have to be Nas to make a living. You can be Schwazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, exactly. You can be Cisco. You can be Johnny Polygon. You can be Intuition. Bank. It's like, you know what I mean? And you can live and you can live the dream.
Yeah.
You just got to like.
That's the thing. I haven't had a day job since 2010.
Man.
And it's not really off music. It's just like off a bunch of different stuff.
Right, right, right.
Because music has opened a bunch of different doors for me.
Exactly.
And I've learned a bunch of other shit that I'm good at because of
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I think it's like you just have to have the. Damn it.
Passion?
The intuition.
Oh, shit. Very on the nose. Very on the nose.
You know, you just have to have the intuition to follow certain opportunities and certain leads and, you know, see where they go.
Yeah.
And, like, you know what I mean? Like, and in the old, like, in my old first record deal, New York sense, it's like, before we go down this road, how much is it paying?
Yeah.
What's the budget?
Yeah.
And blah, 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 blah. And then, like, in my post...
Now it's how much can we scrape together to make this happen?
Exactly.
And how? And then, like, can we flip it? Is it realistic?
Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly. That's where it. That's where everything comes
solving.
From.
And problem solving is as much of a fucking creative
right.
a creativity thing as writing lyrics.
Right, 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 right.
And that's the great thing.
That's the cool thing is it's like the people who also help to make things happen. Because it's never, like, just us. It's also, like, our managers, our homeboys, our girlfriends, our...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know... I don't know. I feel like when you're in this life and it's like what you really do, then everyone around you just sort of has like, not necessarily like a two cents, but they have a relevance and a presence
you
in
get
what
to,
you do.
You get to like decide who's in your brain trust.
Right.
And that's great to have outside opinions. Yeah.
Right. But no, but the part of the thing I like about, you know, what you do is you've always had a good, at least since I've known you, you've always had a good organizational
yeah I'm very feels. I'm very like OCD
it's crazy
I like to keep things like very but that's the thing is that that's also part of my problem because of my OCD and like control issues it's very hard for me to have ever found a manager that I can work with because I'm like yo
right
like fuck off I can manage myself better than you can
right
and so it's hard like
maybe you need more of like an assistant than a manager I
that would probably help
right
like, you know an intern but at the same time I'm a bad boss because I feel
guilty.
Right.
You'll just talk shit
I've always hated my bosses so much that I'm always like wait am I being an asshole to you like I don't want to be the asshole boss like
right.
you know I know you're just an intern so I don't like just tell me if you don't like this like
tell me
to fuck off you know
right
so it's I have weird like crazy guilt issues and inferiority and
which is what makes you a great artist.
I have superiority and inferiority complexes at the same damn time.
So I'm surprised you even get out of bed in the morning. That's
me too.
That's
sometimes
it's a lot of tension in your back.
Sometimes it's hard. That's so weird that you brought that up. I was just talking to somebody about tension. I read this girl's mind the other day and about tension in her shoulders and stuff. It was interesting, but it's a side note, and we can do it off air. But, Johnny, this fucking...
That sound like a come-on line or something.
It wasn't.
It's just like, I can read your mind, girl. You got a lot of tension
into your
shoulders.
Ear after we wrap this up. But, yeah, man, I don't know if we really accomplished anything about your history, per se, but...
Oh, right, right.
I had a fucking great time talking to you.
Yeah, thank you.
It was great. I feel like, man, we should hang out.
I think we should.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think we should.
Like, the last couple podcasts that I've done have been great because it's like dudes that I'm like, yo.
I like you.
We should hang out. Like, some people I'm like, nah, fuck you. Like, just come in here and then, like, leave me alone and we'll let your video do what it does.
Right.
Genuinely, I think you're a good dude and I always have a good time talking to you.
And
I still always remember that joke about Asians that go either Caucasian or Afro-Asian. That was, like, the most hilarious thing to me. So funny.
I remember
that's
that
a
as
throwback
well.
To a Knock City podcast we did but if you've been paying attention for 3 years then you know it.
Nice.
Yeah, man.
Yo, that was actually one of the I still hear about that performance in that video all the time.
Yeah, and that's the and I love that those videos and these videos have become like people's calling cards.
Yeah.
And I love that and I'm so grateful that like that I'm able to get people in here and do it because I love hearing music for one. And I love working with people that make cool music.
How did that come about? I don't remember.
It just happens. It just happened. I don't know how it came about. Like it was an accident. It was all an accident.
Like you guys just,
How we had you on?
Or no, what? Like how
the,
did
the
not
video thing
steady even,
it just kind of happened, accidentally. Like they had me come in to like start writing. They needed a writer, like a blogger,
right?
And then I went, hey, I can probably do a bunch of other shit, and then we started, and then that it kind of spawned into like every week we would get new ideas, and I would like,
right.
And I started realizing like what worked and what didn't.
Yeah, eventually.
By the time we had you on, it was a well-oiled machine, and I knew what would work.
I was like, what the hell?
Yeah, I knew what would work at that point. So like when you came in, it was easy. Boom, boom, you know?
Yeah. You know, cause and I've so, never been like the crazy internet numbers guy.
I love numbers. That's the other thing. Like part of my OCD is like,
man,
when I talked about sabermetrics earlier, like,
right.
You can show me somebody who has like real or fake Twitter followers. I'll be able to look at like
right.
three tweets and their numbers and tell you if they have real or fake followers. Just cause right. it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Same with YouTube videos, et cetera. So,
yeah.
And I know what's going to make numbers and I know what's not going to. And I just have, that's part of my, you know, sorry to be on the nose, but it's very an intuitive thing for me.
Right.
Anyways, I love the fact that it became a calling card for you, and I hope that new video does as well.
Oh, man. Yes. I'm going to premiere a song again.
Yeah, I'm excited. What song are you going to premiere?
It's called Dead Meat.
Dead Meat.
It's off my new EP called King of Ashes.
Is that out? Or when is it coming out?
No, it'll be out next month. When does this premiere?
This will premiere next week on Wednesday.
Okay.
Or if you want me to, we can do it the week after that. It's up to you.
No, let's get it out.
Yeah, for sure. Next Wednesday it is. Because tonight is Wednesday for those of you listening. Where can the people find you online, Mr. Johnny Polygon?
The easiest way to get to me is johnnyfuckingpolygon.com.
No, johnnyfuckingpolygon.com.
No G in fucking.
Oh, I was going to say.
Yeah, just right. fucking. Just Johnny fucking Polygon.
Fucking. We out here
and
fucking.
Then it's Johnny Polygon on across all the.
Yeah, at you know. Johnny Polygon,
JohnnyPolygon. G-O-N. Bam.
Son.
Bam.
So look for this gentleman, Johnny Polygon, on the interwebs.
I be there.
Search him on YouTube.
Yes. He
makes good songs.
Thank you.
Got good hair.
Thank you.
You look like a classic jazz musician.
Thank you, BBW.
Not necessarily a BBW jazz musician, but you know, you look, you have an old school look to you that I'm very,
thank you.
You know, I'm envious of
it. It's not a, really a thing for me. It's not like a goal.
It's not a goal, but it just happens.
It just,
you got sort an old of, school face and then the old school hair to match. Yeah. You know what I mean? It just happens.
But yeah.
Anyway, look for him online. My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition. You can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. You can follow my man behind the boards making the shit sound buttery, Ben Shim, at I Am Database, base with two S's.
Woo.
Find us as a unit on Twitter at That's Kinda Neat, where I've been tweeting a little more from there recently. Last night I tweeted something and somebody goes, holy shit, a That's Kinda Neat tweet. And I was like, I know, I never tweet from here. I'm sorry, but fuck you.
They want it.
I'm telling you, it's going to be, I'm going to start tweeting wild out shit from there soon.
Bless them. Bless them with their faces.
You can go to facebook.com/kindaneat and follow us on there. youtube.com/thatskindaneat, where you're going to see Johnny Polygon premiere a new song that no one's heard called Dead Meat. M-E-A-T or M-E-E-T? Because it could be a play on words.
M-E-A-T.
Okay, I like it. I like it.
I just decided that.
All right, cool. So there's the spelling.
Bam.
So Dead Meat, you can see last week's guest Pell perform. Is a great performance. You can also see the week before that, Dream Panther, and the week before that, Lacutus. We've been on a fucking roll. We've had a bunch of cool people on, man.
Woo!
It's been crazy. Go to your podcast app or go to the app store. Download the podcast app. Search for Kinda Neat. Subscribe. Leave a comment. Leave a 5-star rating.
Nice.
Hit me on Facebook. Fucking tell me something. I don't care. I like to. If you guys talk to me on Facebook, I talk back. And people always go, I know that you probably never read these. And then I reply and I go, ha-ha, bitch, I read all of these. Don't talk shit about my mama on Facebook. I'm out here.
Stupid. Ha-ha, bitch. I'm going to respond like that.
That was so dumb.
Oh, man.
What else? I think that's it, man. Fuck it. We did what we came to do.
We
and
did
maybe
it to
we're,
death.
Gonna, we're probably going to hang out soon. That's how I feel.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, cool. That was it.
Do you drink?
I quit drinking and I quit smoking.
I could tell.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. You just have a very clear vibe.
I quit smoking cigarettes. I quit drinking. And I announced on a podcast a couple weeks ago that I'm going to try being celibate for a while.
I've gone
fully straight edge.
Do you still poop?
Barely. It's all protein. I just poop nothing but protein, so it floats. This was Johnny Polygon. My name is Intuition. And this was definitely kind of neat.
Yeah.